Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Genesis, the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1, Genesis 26. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the Lord of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of that place would kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac, and said, Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how sayest thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Let us pray. Father, again today I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. I thank you, Lord, that you've been so good to us. You've sent your Son to die on the cross for us, to be buried and to raise again, Lord, so that we might be justified by faith. Thank you so much again today for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that this preacher, as he needs your help, doesn't have to stand here alone. Thank you so much, Father, for the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. And Lord, we just ask you to do a work today that will please you. Lord, in all of our hearts, do that which needs to be done. I pray there will be a humbled spirit amongst our people today, Father, not a spirit of pride, not a spirit of knowing at all, Lord, but a spirit of just being willing to receive what you've sent them today and be willing to do and to mind, Lord, what you've told us to do. We'll thank you for it. Should there be anyone here unsaved, I pray, Father, that that person will be born again this day in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled Staying in Bounds. You know, one of the important things for God's people is that we stay in the will of God. It's not a good thing to get out of the will of God. You need to stay in bounds, God's bounds. Amen. We do too. I do too. And we need to be where God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do. You see, I played softball when I was a boy. Many of you played that game. Some of you play hardball. They call it baseball. I played softball because Fillmore, Indiana didn't have a baseball team. We had a softball team, and we played that. And when I hit the ball, if I ever did, they wouldn't let me just run anywhere I wanted to run. They made me run between home plate and first. I couldn't run to third. I had to, and then to second, and then to first, and then home. They made me do it the other way around. I mean, they just had some rules about that thing. I played basketball also, and they told me I couldn't bounce the ball outside of that line over there. They had a line around the gymnasium, and that was out of bounds. And all kinds of games has, boundaries. Football, I never played football in my life. Fillmore, Indiana did not have a football team. I mean, they was lucky to have a school, let alone a football team. But anyway, we didn't have a football team, but they still have boundaries. And they have rules and boundaries and all of those things. You know what? God does too. God has some rules and some boundaries, and he wants us within those boundaries. He doesn't want us outside of them. He wants us to be in the will of God. And it's very, very important that every individual Christian understands there's a perfect will of God for their life. And God does not want us outside of those boundaries. In the portion of Scripture that I read to you, we see Isaac. And of course, Isaac was Abraham's son. Abraham had, in his time, had went outside some boundaries. Abraham went into Egypt when he was not supposed to, for the very same reason here that Isaac was tempted to do so, because of a famine in the land. People were hungry. They couldn't grow food. The famine had come, and their herds, I'm sure, had trouble finding food. And so we find that Abraham went on down into Egypt. And another time, he went to the very same place that his son did here, Gerar. He went there one time, and he lied just like Isaac did about his wife. He called her a sister instead of his wife. Well, Isaac comes along, does the very same thing. You know, daddy does, so can son do. Boy, daddies better think about that. Amen. I'm serious about that. You better think about it. It's easy to talk about it. And easy to give instructions, but we better be willing to set example for our children. Set a good example for our children. But that's what he did. He was in verse 2 of chapter 26, you see that Isaac was tempted because of the great famine that was in the land. And I've always said, I believe it. I just believe God can take care of us, even if there is a famine. I just believe that God can do what needs to be done, even if there is a famine. He's going to take care of us. I just have to believe that. So we find here that he was tempted to do that. Let me just say this to you. In the spiritual life, there's always a temptation to walk away from the Lord's will for our life. I just want you to know there's some spiritual Egypts out there. And you can walk away into Egypt. You see, with Isaac here, Egypt wasn't very far away. Not too much distance. It's pretty easy to just travel on over into Egypt. That's what Abraham did. You understand? And he did that, and it wasn't very far away. I believe there's a lot of spiritual Egypts that's not very far away from the Christian. It's easy just to kind of scoot over into them and let the cares of this world take you over into spiritual Egypt. Deceitfulness of riches take you over into spiritual Egypt. Pleasures, as it also says in the book of Matthew, pleasures of this life can take you over into spiritual Egypts, where you get outside the will of God. You see, for some reason, we Christians has got this idea that if we're not out in some deep sin, doing something terrible, which that is wrong, that we're just all right no matter what we do or where we go or what we say and what direction our life takes. That's not true. God has a perfect will for every single one of us. And he wants us within those boundaries of the will of God. You see, he wants that for you. Folks, listen, you're not going to receive the blessings of God outside of those boundaries. I'm going to talk about those in a minute, but they don't come outside the boundaries of God's word and outside the will of God for your life. That's not where you're going to find the blessings that you and I need. I think it probably would have been a good thing as far as from Isaac's standpoint if he'd go down to Egypt. I'm sure things would have been a lot easier. I'm sure he'd found the food he needed down there. I'm sure he'd found a lot of things for his herds or whatever it might be, his family and all of those things. I'm sure he would have found things down there that would have made it a lot easier in life. Listen to me. It happens all the time in the Christian world today. And let me explain to you what I'm talking about. People decide now, and boy, I'm going to say this first of all. Brother Klein has fought this thing. He's wanted to make sure he was in the will of God going to France. I've talked with him. I understand that. He does care. Brother Klein is so concerned about that. In fact, there was even a job possibility come up. He thought maybe God was going to open it so that he wouldn't be going to France. He didn't know what to do, but God just simply closed that door. And God has opened the door for him to go to France. But I wanted to say that, first of all, why? Because, listen, there's a lot of people that relocate. Just travel from here to there. Because you know why? Money. Money. And that becomes that's how they make their decision on where they're going to go get a job and what kind of a job they're going to take. You listen to this preacher. I've been preaching for 33 years. I've seen people. I've watched them. I have seen them take jobs and get out of church. And I mean get out of church bad. I mean, and they can't, because their jobs have got them all tied down. They don't consider that when they take the job. All they're concerned about is the money they're making. Now, folks, before you relocate and get down into a spiritual Egypt somewhere, you better find out the will of God. God is going to provide a spiritual life for you. I don't understand. I'm serious. I don't understand men. Sometimes men get a job and then it develops into this. But I don't understand any man taking a job that's going to keep him out of church on Sunday. You can do whatever you want to. You can be mad at me. You can do whatever you want to. But if you're going to take a job, you're going to go somewhere and they say, I offer you this job, but you're going to have to work here on Sunday and you're going to be away from the house of God. You're going to be. I don't believe that. Amen. I don't believe God's in that. And I know people hate the preacher a lot of times when he talks about those things, but I'm serious because I've seen too many and I've seen them get away from God over and over and over again. They get away from God. They get down into spiritual Egypts. Folks, God can provide for you. He can provide something for you that will fit into his schedule, not yours, and not this world's schedule. That's exactly, you see, what the problem with Abraham was. He went down into Egypt when he should have not went to Egypt because what? Monetary values. He wanted a place to be fed. He wanted a place for his herds. He wanted all of that. And so he went to Egypt, you see. Well, he got Egypt, all right, and he got a lot of other things, too. And that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying to you, folks, stay close to God and stay in the will of God Almighty. See, he's not too concerned about a way to take care of you. I believe he can still handle it. Amen. He may not what you want as a standard of living, because that all boils down to that. I've heard so many people say, well, I can just make more money if I do this. Yeah, and you're outside of God's will. Is the money worth it? Is the money worth it? No, it isn't worth it. I'm just simply saying to you, be careful, folks. You need to be in God's house. Now, if you're in a job where you're in that, just do everything you can to look for another job. I mean, do something. Let God give you something. God don't want you outside of his will. He wants you in the will of God. Now, has anybody got any tomatoes out there? I'll get down here with you. I'm just going to tell you, though. That's the way it is. You see, and we want to today say, yeah, but I got to live, do you? We said, sure, I got to live. Well, don't you think God can take care of you? See, this is the problem we've got. We don't want to trust God to take care of us. Amen. And we feel sorry for people. Say, well, I know, but they had to have this money. They had to do this. No, they don't. Live on a lower standard. Live on a lower standard. And be in the will of God. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you folks, listen, that's exactly the temptation that came to Isaac. It's a temptation that came to Abraham. It's a temptation that's going to come to you and I. You say, Brother Ross, you ain't there. I was there. I was there for many years. I bid down and bid down and bid down so I could be off on Sundays. I'm only telling you that not to brag. I'm telling you, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I did not work. Why? Because I felt like I needed to be in the house of God. And God will bless that. I had a man tell me at Anaconda Aluminum Company one day. It was amazing. Well, he said, I think I need to work on Sundays so I can give more tithes to my church. About as dumb as a box of rocks. No, I'm sorry. Rocks are smarter. I think if I get these great tithes, you know, I could give them more if I work on something. No, he wanted that money. I'm just simply saying, folks, don't get tempted and get down into the spiritual Egypts. Okay? They're not worth it. They're not going to help you. So we find the promises of God. If you'll look with me over to verse 3, sojourn in this land and I will be with thee. I want you to notice one of the great things that God said, and that's the presence of God. God will be with him, he said. Folks, that's more important than all the money and everything else you can obtain, is the presence of God in your life. He told Isaac here, he says, I will be with thee. The presence of God, that's what you and I need. Presence of God in our life. And he also said in verse 3, he said, and I will bless thee. Where is the blessings of God at? They're found in the will of God, not outside the will of God. Now you can get outside the will of God more places than just your job. You can get outside the will of God in your pleasures, your cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. You can get outside the will of God. What I'm saying to you, folks, you better stay in the will of God, where the presence of God is and where his blessings is. Get your family where the blessings of God is upon your life. And keep your family there. They're more important. They're more important than all of this other things, folks. They're all going to come to an end one of these days. We're all so worrying about all of this standard of living, the more things we can get and all of this. Folks, all of that is going to burn. It's going to burn up. And it's going to be gone. And then we're going to have to face the wonderful, wonderful God Almighty. Amen. So I'm saying to you, we'll get the blessings of God upon your life. And God said here, if he would sojourn in that land, he said, I'll be with thee and I will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the path which I, the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I know I've said this before, but I want to just restate it just a moment. I think you do too, but folks, I want the blessings of God upon my seed, on my posterity. I want the blessings of God upon my children and their children and their children and their children. I want that. I desire that for them. And I know I'm going to have to be in the will of God to receive that. I'm going to have to stay where the blessings are. So what do? You do it for your children's sake. You do it for your grandchildren's sake. You do it for their children's sake. You don't step outside the will of God. You stay in the will of God for their sake. I'm going to be gone one of these days. Just seriously, I'm going to be gone. My wife's going to be gone. But our children, Lord willing, will be on, traveling on. They'll be having their children and their children's children. I want the blessings of God for them. And I believe it's very important that I, as a preacher, as a father, stay in the will of God, where the blessings are, where God's promised to bless. I didn't say where the riches was. I said where the blessings are. And you need to keep your family in the will of God, where the blessings are. Amen. You do that by you staying in the will of God. You doing what God wants you to do. You being faithful to God. You living right. You think God's going to bless your seed if you're living like the devil? So, well, that's nobody's business. That's not my problem. Yes, it is. It's going to be your children's problem. Sure it is. Get where the blessings are. You see, and you know what? The blessings will come upon your family. Yes, they will. See, everything will be wonderful, rosy. I didn't say that. I said the blessings of God's going to be upon your family. Just look around at your family. See if the blessings of God is on it. If it is, thank God for it. If it isn't, find out why. You understand what I'm saying? Have you walked away from the will of God? You need to be in God's will. So we find also then in verse number 4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I know we read that, but folks, there's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness because he stayed in the will of God. He was where God wanted him. Fruitfulness will come from that. And then not only that, on through the nation will be blessed. I know I mentioned this the other day, but folks, we need families living for God and loving God and staying in the will of God so this nation can be blessed. Our nation is in dire trouble. I mean, it's in dire trouble. And we need families. We need Christians loving God and walking with God to produce more Christians that will love God and walk with God. We need that. And we need you staying, you young people. We need you coming up in the admonition and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we need you living for God and walking with God. Not to get away from God. Not the first time you graduate somewhere, get off somewhere where you want to go and get out of the house of God and all that foolishness. No. You stay in the house of God. You stay with God. You walk with God. You do right. Amen. Why? For your children's sake. And for this nation's sake. Amen. Sure. So you don't quit. I don't expect you to, but I'm just saying, don't you quit. You haven't a right to do that. You stay close to the Lord. You walk with God for the rest of your lives. And don't you ever get out of church. I've said many times back, we have a lot of our bus children that come through here. I'm so thankful for them. I mean that. I just love them. I just love them. I'm so glad they get on those buses and ride to church. It's just a thrill to me to see them. But I look at it sometimes and I say, what can we do? There's a real problem there, because down the road they get out and get married and get on their own and they quit going to church. There's all kinds of families around. We meet them. I mean, we meet them on door to door. Oh, I used to ride the church bus to your church. Yeah, I got saved there. Where are you at now? Well, I don't care if my kids go. It's crazy, folks. You got to stick in there. Don't you bus children that are here, we call you bus children because you come in on bus. We love you. But don't you walk away from God. No. You get out of school. You stay in church. In a good independent fundamental Baptist church. Don't you get away from church. You say, why? For your seed's sake. You're going to have children one of these days. You want them to love God, walk with God. You want this nation to have people like you that love the Lord and walk with God. You see, you can't quit. You just got to keep on doing it. You look at the Bible back here, and the history of the people in the Bible. You find some great, wonderful people, and there's not hardly any of them that somewhere along the line didn't sin and do wrong, but they got right back with God. I mean, I'm sorry, those things are there, but they got right back with the Lord. Abraham went to Egypt. I just told you about that, but he came back out of Egypt, built an altar. Moses smote the rock the second time instead of speaking to it. He done things that was not right to do, but he got right with God. It's what I'm just trying to say to you, folks. You're in your life. You're not going to always do every perfect thing, but boy, get right with God and stay with God. Amen. Noah got off the ark and got drunk. Bad thing, but he went, and you know, God used him greatly, and he got right with God. It's what I'm trying to say is just stay close to the Lord. And don't walk away from him. And so you see sin in people's lives. Samson and David both got all messed up, walked away from God. But even at his last, there at the last, Samson got right with God. David got right with God. That's what I'm saying is, folks, don't stay out there and sin. Don't get out there and sin, first of all, but don't stay out and sin. Stay close to God. Amen. Walk with the Lord. And don't quit. I want to show you something, and I believe is... So some of the people got out of boundary here, and I want to read to you a little bit about being a well digger. We find that Abraham, according to the scripture, was a well digger. Isaac came along in his time and found some wells that Abraham had dug, and he found them all filled in. You find this in chapter 26 and verse 17. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names of which his father had called them. Abraham had digged the wells. What happened was the Philistines come along and filled them in. I don't know what he filled them all in with dirt or with junk and all kind of stuff, but he filled them in, where they was not usable anymore. Isaac came along and began to redig those wells. What I'm saying to us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to these young people, there's going to sometimes have to be some wells you're going to have to redig. Because the old Philistines are filling them up. And the reason they're filling them up is because the people who was guarding them has got off out of boundaries somewhere away from God, and they wasn't guarded. I'm saying we have a responsibility, told them in Sunday school, as a responsibility of elders and men and women have a responsibility to stand fast on the word of God and do something and build something for these young people that's coming up behind us. We just cannot let it slip. And let me say to you, there's a lot of slipping going on. Philistines have stopped a bunch of things up, and now Isaac's come along and filling them back in. Let me tell you something. Our forefathers dug a lot of good wells. Some of the old fundamental Baptist preachers and congregations has dug some good wells, and a lot of them has been filled back up. And we need to redig them again. Amen. Amen. You see, the old time gospel has been filled with modernism. I just want you to understand something. There's only one way to heaven. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his shed blood. I was thinking the other day, Brother Casper and I was talking about Oliver B. Green. Oh, man, I loved Oliver B. Green. Loved him preaching. And Jenny, you can thank your daddy. He's got him on the radio now again. I haven't heard Oliver B. Green, and I don't know when. But I just get excited when I hear Oliver B. Green. I was just a young boy, and answered a call to preach, and God put him on the radio going back and forth to Anaconda Aluminum Company, and I'd listen to him every morning. I was on the hoot owl shift. I'd hear Oliver B. Green just preach the word of God. You see, and the old Philistines are filling it up with modernism. Social gospels. There's only one way to heaven, period. Amen. We need to redig that. I think you believe that too, but I'm just saying we can't let that get filled in around here. You don't get saved by works. You don't get saved by baptism. You don't get saved by anything. You get saved by the grace of God through faith. Amen. It's God's way of salvation. It's him. He done it. Period. We can't let it get filled in, but it's getting filled in. All across this nation, it's getting filled in with other things added to salvation. There's only one way. The Bible, being God's word, has been filled with doubt. I heard old Norris Belcher was preaching the other day, and they saw the Lord conference, and he was preaching about these old translations that's coming out. Now, you know what? I stand up here, and I say that, and I know well. I know there's probably people in this church right now thinks I'm a pretty crazy for worrying about the King James Bible and these other NIVs and all of these. But I want to tell you something. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Now, there may be liberals around that don't think it's a tragedy, but it's a tragedy. You just get back to the old Bible, the Word of God, and you just stick with it. It is the Word of God. You don't deviate from it. You see, you got to redig that well. Dig it deep. If liberals want to believe that junk, let them believe it. But we're not going to do it. No, we're not going to take the blood out. We're not going to take the deity of Christ out. We're not going to do those things. We're not going to do it. Somebody thinks that's all right. There's a real problem. Amen. Amen. Regeneration has been filled with reformation. Regeneration, basically, the word regeneration basically speaks of the new birth. It's a new beginning. You've been done over. Ladies go to a beauty shop and get done over. This is a spiritual doing over. You're regenerated. You're a different person. It's not reformation. Now, I think when you're regenerated, you reform. Amen? I believe that. I believe that. Amen? But it isn't reformation that causes regeneration. It's regeneration that causes reformation. Amen. Amen. But nowadays, it's, turn over a new leaf. Just live a little better. Just do a little better here or there and everything's up. No, it's being born again. Amen. There must be a new birth that happens. Amen. Do you know, unless you have faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot go to heaven? For by grace are you saved through faith. Do you know it's an impossibility for someone to get saved unless they truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? It's just an impossibility. You cannot go to heaven without it. We just need to believe God. Dig those old wells again of just simple faith in God. Simple faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I'm just saying to you folks, you know, our fathers gave up a lot. Our forefathers gave up a lot, and they taught us some good old-fashioned truths from the Word of God, and we cannot let them slip. I don't know about your daddies. My daddy taught me I better be honest. Went up to a little old filling station in Fillmore, Indiana one day, and I was in that, and I remember something, and this is no excuse, but we just didn't have money. Some of you are out there shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. We just did not have money. Times when I didn't have a nickel in my pocket. Most of the time, I didn't have a nickel in my pocket. Now, I'm ashamed of this. You young people listen to this. I'm ashamed of it. I picked up a candy bar. And I still today don't know how my daddy found out about it. I really don't know. I think what happened, the owner seen me do it, and he told him. I think that's what happened. I want to tell you what. I went all the way back up to Fillmore, Indiana. And my daddy says, now I'm going to give you the money to pay for that. You're going to apologize to that guy. And I did. He gave me the money. I went home and worked 3 hours to pay for a silly candy bar. And I mean, I worked. My daddy wouldn't let off of me. Why? Because I'd stole a candy bar. My daddy taught me to be honest. I knew better than that. You didn't cheat. You didn't steal. You didn't slip around where you wasn't supposed to be. My daddy taught me honesty. We need to be honest. Them are wells that need to be dug. I was taught morality. We need wells dug again of true morality. True morality, folks. Understand? I'm talking about true morality. You got some sense about you. You know that doing wrong is absolutely wrong. You don't need to run around with the opposite sex somewhere in a dark alley somewhere. You have some morals about you. I believe that. We need to dig those wells again. You know what's happened? We've got out of bounds. Out of the boundaries of God's Word. And we could just go on and on, but alcoholism. I want to tell you, my daddy taught me it was a horrible thing to drink. Now, my daddy taught me that. I had an opportunity to do so one night with a group of people, young people. I got out of a car 3 miles from where my home was because they wanted me to drink. I got out of the car and walked home instead of drink. You know why? Because my daddy said you don't drink. Amen? I'm just telling you. You know, the abortion crowd and the sodomite crowd and all this has been in America. Why? Because the boundaries has been let down. We've got out of the boundaries of the Word of God. Sodomy is an abomination to God. Now the sodomite, what does he need to do or she need to do? They need to get right with God. I understand that it is a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing they get into. I understand that. But I want to tell you, so is alcoholism. God can help an alcoholic quit. He can help a sodomite quit. Yes, he can. Okay? Now, I'm just simply saying to you folks, we need to redig those wells. We need to get back within the boundaries of God's Word. The boundaries that God has set, not what man has set. Well, Abraham went down to Egypt. He brought back with him Hagar. Started a whole ungodly nation that we're still fighting, or the Israelites are still fighting over there. You know why? Because he went to Egypt and he brought her back. You can't go to Egypt without bringing something back that's going to hurt you for the rest of your life. Now, you can say you will. You say, I'll get backslidden if I will. Well, you're going to bring something back from Egypt that's going to harm you probably for the rest of your life. Didn't say you couldn't get right with God, but you're going to bring something back that you're going to have to deal with the rest of your life. Lot got away from God and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Ended up in the gate of Sodom. Basically lost his whole family. Now, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Stay in boundaries. God has boundaries. Stay in them. The preacher's just warning you. Stay in them. Don't get outside of them. Husbands and wives, be true to your husband. Be true to your wife. Don't get outside of those boundaries. The grass is not greener. And even if it was, God's placed some boundaries. Stay in them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your grace, your goodness. Thank you for the boundaries you've set in your word. Now, I just ask you, Lord, through this message, that you'll help us, that we'll be willing to be helped, that we'll just be willing to just turn our hearts to you. And Lord, those that might have been touched somewhere along this message may need to just come to an altar of prayer and just get alone with you and settle some things, deal with some things in their life, or maybe just to reset, Lord, some things, decisions they've made long ago. I just ask, Father, that your will be done. If there's any here unsaved, oh God, please save that soul that's near as hell. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.